Could Have Been Heroes is a role-playing game podcast where six old friends adventure as six total strangers who, after missing their shots at destiny, now get a second chance to make a mess of everything. A short story in four parts. Part one, the two most costly words. A long time ago, a woman and her husband languished for the wanting of a child. After years of hoping, the woman did something known to be a very bad idea throughout all of Faerital. She made a wish. You see, the realms of Faerital are full of things. A small number of those things, but more than you'd think, are just champing at the bit, waiting for someone to make a wish so that they can grant it. But of course, almost none of these things wish to grant your wish out of the goodness of their heart, and it is known that every wish, without exception, has gone at best unexpectedly, and much more often than not, come with dire consequences. In the interest of full disclosure, there was one time a wish went exactly as intended, but it wouldn't be helpful to go on about that, and it would undermine my point. So, this woman did the thing you mustn't do. She spoke the most costly words in all the realms. I wish. More dire still, she did so with all her heart, and so they counted and were heard. Her wish that she would have a son or daughter of her own. A classic. Now, unknown and unseen to this woman, at the very moment her words were uttered, a legion of mighty and ancient forces sprang into action, thundering and flying and swimming and slithering through reality, trying to be the first to reach her, as, due to ancient compact, wish-granting was a first-come, first-serve business, and no one, not deity or devil, can go against the old magic. So this poor woman, for a brief moment, was the center of the magical universe. The fiery depths boiled and burbled up below her, reaching with greedy hands. The tricksters of the wild world snaked out of the seams in wood and grass and water. The heavens pushed in, fluttering wings and whispers of gibberish truth and revelatory madness. Luckily for her, however, a small and friendly star was passing overhead just then and heard her wish. And so it fell, plummeting in a streak of blue fire out of the sky right above her. The woman, understandably surprised that a star was falling towards her, gasped. And that is how the star came to fall into her mouth, down into her belly, where it mixed with her hopes and dreams, and 9 months later she gave birth to a son, the most beautiful any in all the lands of Thoslorem had ever seen. Years passed, and the woman and her family were very happy. So happy that even when the light that shone from her lovely son drew the unwelcome attention of a band of red riders one night, and the red light of fire consumed their roof, and thundering hoofbeats outside heralded her doom, she never regretted it. She knew, after all, that the bill would come due sooner or later. She hid her beautiful son and his glowing light in their small stone cellar and picked up a shovel to face the red-clad men.
So you know what? Let's throw another road encounter your way since, you know, that's
roll
what
again.
We do next. Since now you travel down the road another
yeah, like maybe
segment.
A two. Maybe I'll roll a two, you guys.
I really like
treat.
Val's, like, danger rolls for our encounters.
Yeah, I think you have opted for always being the one who rolls the thing.
I need to practice.
Yeah. It's because you got that newbie energy.
And these dice are cool.
Eight?
Your dice are gorgeous.
She roll on an 8 or a 12.
Rule is if you drop a die, you gotta re-roll it.
I grabbed the wrong one. I need an 8.
Oh, so
eight,
great.
Right?
Well, then, yeah.
So the rule is also, grab the wrong one, you have to re-roll it.
Absolutely.
On the right.
You actually roll with that and figure it out. It's a 1.
Oh my god. I was just gonna say, if you roll on the wrong die, you should automatically get a critical miss.
I
want to
see if I can even roll
a
non-1 with this. Maybe it's just like, okay, maybe it's just me.
Wait, did you roll
one.
It again?
Yeah,
another,
it's another one?
One.
So probably.
Are you shitting
great.
Me?
No.
Well, there is a thing where you can kind of like accidentally like trick roll a die if you keep like putting it into your hand over and over again the same way.
1. No, okay. That was a 7. Anyways, I rolled a 1 the first time.
It's still a 1.
It's a 9. It's a 7.
You still the 1.
Doing probability experiment.
10 has a
1
in it. Yeah. Okay, so since we go to 1. We got a 1. We go to the next.
We know how to deal with the sun.
We go to the next lowest rather than having you re-roll it because we just will be rolling ones all day.
Sure will. All
right. Ah, the leaning tree. Okay. Ahead, the road goes down a hill, splitting the middle of a dense copse of forest. Many of the trees are toppled like a storm hit recently. So you kind of see this forest, and it looks like a storm hit it, blowing from west to east, and a bunch of the trees are all toppled over, pushing that direction. Okay, so make your choice of focus or cunning endeavor with a hidden difficulty. So just roll it up, total it, and I will subtract the difficulty and see if you
got
10. I
need to check a facet. Hidden difficulty, and we get to pick focus or...
Yeah, focus or cunning.
17.
Yeah, it's a 17 for me, too.
16 cunning.
16
oh,
cunning.
Was that
okay.
No, that's with the 12. Right?
So we got, that's a success on cunning.
What I'll take focus. Mine was 6 on both, so.
All right, those are some really high rolls. So.
I want to call on a facet of Tree Strider to achieve 10.
Yes, you just made it.
Yes, thank God.
You just made it. Okay, so.
You've been screwed.
All right, so the whole group sort of pulls up and looks down at this copse of trees, like, a little suspiciously. First of all, one of the trees, those of you who chose to, like, focus on observing with your focus check, one of the trees has fallen over the road, you know, and has, like, greener foliage than the rest. There are a few places where the trees are leaning kind of out over the road, leaning here or leaning there. But this one particular tree stands out because its leaves haven't gone to brown like all the other trees that are in similar positions, which makes you kind of point it out to the rest of the group. And those of you who got, who succeeded on your cunning check, those leaves might just be greener because the tree still has like roots in that are feeding it, or it might have been felled more recently. But it might have been felled more recently intentionally, not by the natural storm that knocked down the other trees, but as a spot to ambush people on the road, which is...
Feeling my Admiral Ackbar.
You are definitely feeling the Admiral Ackbar rising up the back of your gullet, making you want to throatily scream that it is a trap. So you spot, just all as a group kind of standing at the top of this hill, spot the perfect spot for an ambush from above.
Proceed with caution, my friends.
Ooh.
All right, ambush Daddy, from above. I'm listening.
When you talk like that, I feel I want to do what you say.
Okay.
Okay.
Circ. I have no memory. I can't have fear if I don't know what anything is.
Yeah.
Trees!
No past traumas here.
Clean slate. You lucky bastard.
Let's send him in then.
We sacrifice him.
Can we just send him first?
He's our little, like, bomb detecting babe.
He's all rubbery and weird. You just hear someone hiding in ambush go, No, okay, so you want to send Cirque first?
No.
Oh, I was fully on board.
All right, well, how do you want to approach this? Let me know.
I mean, I could always turn into a swan and fly amongst the trees, see what's what.
Oh, wow, you have that skill?
I mean, unless I want
to. Oh, I'm just trying to think of how that would work with the one-way road, right? Because you can't get ahead of... If you get ahead of us, you can't come back to us.
That's true.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Well, could she hover as a bird over that area safely until we caught up with her?
I could. Tread bird water? I can.
Can you squawk for how many guys there are?
waiting for us.
This is not necessarily the best plan. We can go with other plans.
I think this is an amazing plan. It's slightly better than sacrificing Cirque to the trap, the obvious trap.
Holy goalies!
Just thinking this through, does it change anything how many guys there are? We can't go back. We're going to get nudged forward in a couple minutes anyway.
That's a good point.
Maybe the better plan isn't to split up at all and let's just draw weapons and
proceed like we're... Yeah, what if the ambush isn't expecting a counter ambush and we just come in blazing?
Yes.
They don't know we know.
But do they know you know we know?
They don't.
Now we know that they don't know that we're coming. I don't know. I'm kind of on board with that. And I have just cast two successful and powerful spells. And I do still have that vial of horrid green in my inventory. I could toss it that away because it does have a tendency to explode pretty intensely.
We could draw them out that way.
Oh, shit. Smoke them out with some gas bomb.
I mean, I'll get my bow and arrow out just, you know.
And it's not going to kill him. It's not going to kill him. We're not sending like a lethal concoction in there.
With my jelly bones, we could do like a beach slingshot thing. Someone grabs
catapult.
I really feel like we should be throwing a potion before we throw a full blown man.
Oh, he's throwing
him like a sling. Use
him as a sling to throw a potion.
Oh yes, this I like.
Yeah, me too.
It's getting a little shot, in the weeds, Kaiser is like, all right, but I really do like this bum rush the bad guys who may likely be in hiding.
Let's chuck the horrid green at them.
Yeah, get that shit ready. Let's do it.
But let's drop the poison bomb on them and then have the front line follow that up right behind so they don't have a chance to
react. I'll get my bow and arrow out, stand behind Cirque, see what happens.
Let's do it. Let's do it! Roll initiative, bitches! Alright, so roll and add your speed onto the roll of a d20 to get us your initiative.
Oh.
Okay, so 15, Martin? Yep.
14.
Alright.
24 for...
Holy mother gosh!
Yeah.
25 for Lavaline.
Damn!
Applejack bringing up the rear. With a respectable 12. Okay. So as you sprint forward, hefting this caustic gas bomb in one hand, weapons out, weapons drawn, you kind of come around the bend. You don't see them yet, but you hear a, huh? Like, they were not expecting you to come in just blazing hot, like weapons drawn, like at a full battle sprint. Everybody, as you come around the bend as a group, like as like the combat joins, you scan the area and just take a look and see if you can spot where they are exactly. Because you heard one of them yelp, being surprised that you've come in hot, weapons drawn. So, yes,
here
so
comes
please make
the B team.
Please make a focus. Here comes the B team. All right, so make a focus endeavor. With a difficulty of 3 to see if you can spot the ambushers.
I did not. I rolled a 1.
No.
I also rolled a 1.
Oh, I was going to do something.
I passed.
All 13. Right.
I already used a grim on you, so I'm not going to do it again.
You're blind again.
You're
God
blind
damn it.
Again. You run into a leaf and it slices your... What is that? Successes? Anybody?
Gwen Success. Insert. Got successes.
All right. So as you come around the bend, you notice that that tree that is draped across the road, kind of, it's up at about 15 feet, and it's bent, but you see the leaves are making a little bit of a screen. And if you look really closely, you can see camouflage rope tied around the trunk of the tree in 5 spots. There's rope coiled around in a circle around the trunk of this huge tree that they felled.
I should delay since I didn't see them.
Yeah, so you're like scan and their camouflage is just too strong and you can't like find them in the brush. Do both of you want to delay until after the people who did spot them, or do you want to take some other kind of action or like?
Yeah, I mean,
I failed that check, so.
All right, so the two of them come around and, like, scan and, like, can't see where these guys are hiding. And then Martin runs forward a bit and, like, plumps up one of his arms into a club. And Gwendolyn comes in hot with, like leaning back, getting her weight behind the throw, and tosses the horrid green up into the air. So how tossing works in this game is you pick a space that you is within twice your strength range, so within 10 spaces of you. So you pick a spot basically on that tree to huck the green, and then you roll a d8, and it lands in a space adjacent to the space you picked.
Okay, so... Yeah, I mean, well, if... Do we think they're hot? Like, if those leaves are specifically arranged in some sort of a screen, I feel like that should be a target.
Right.
Because they're like probably behind them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's also those ropes as a spot, too. You see five ropes, like, tied along the trunk of the tree, which lines up with those...
With those screens. Yeah, so that seems like the best target area.
Right in the middle of that. Okay, so how the D8 works is one is it goes a little farther north than you were expecting, like map north. And eight is it goes like map north and like up to the left. So it's just basically like it'll land kind of near where you wanted to because you're giving it a good huck. So it isn't perfectly accurate.
Four, right in the middle.
One, two, three, four. So it hurdles up and it lands right. Granted, got it right here. So that gets these three Thodwell, Morm, and Cluttup. Okay, so it hits.
You named them?
They're named! Oh, they've got goodness. Names and everything.
Oh, they're not.
All right, so what? So it is a grenade type item, so it explodes. What do they suffer here?
This is a noxious gas bomb. Explosion 2x2, so that's the size
of the area, four spaces.
15 poison damage plus harried for one round.
Okay, so they're right in the middle of the green. Grenades don't really do a ton of damage, but you can't really escape them because they're fucking grenades.
Mm-hmm.
So you see three men burst out from underneath these very convincing screens of leaves and slight camouflage magic. One of them has like a pointed green hat and he has a bow and arrow and he lurches out puking this like green fluid out of his mouth. Just this long stream of as the, you know, the noxious fumes, you know, take their effect on him. Another man, because you got it on the four, so that's on the right-hand side. So that's where their caster and their healer are. So over on the right-hand side, a man with, like, a hood pulled up and two little, like, pinprick red eyes glowing out from within the hood. And he's got a staff and, you know, knives all over, you know, positioned all over his armor. Comes bursting out from behind the screen and, you know, puking green out of his nose. And another with, like, a little white cap and, like, you know, stitching kit and a bunch of scars on his face. So they get just a mouthful of noxious gas and, like, burst into... into sight. However, all three of them are up, suspended on the road, like 15 feet up in this tree. And you can see that they have ropes tied around their midsection.
Oh, now I get what they were going to do. They can jump down off that limb connected to the ropes and attack whoever's like trying to walk under that tree.
But then not land on road and get
so
stuck.
So that they don't get stuck walking down there. Those little tricky little dudes.
The jig is up! Kill them, damn it!
Oh, kill us? Kill Wait, us. That seems
Why hard. Not just retreat?
Nah! We're tied up! We can't retreat!
Climb
no
up.
Retreat!
Surrender then.
Boss says kill them all!
Oh, boss, no.
All right, Martin. There's nobody in range. I think you're ready to... Ready turn goes kind of kaput here.
Yeah, I mean, no one really came out in my swinging zone. I was hoping...
But you just keep it ready, then, if one of them does
try to
swipe down.
Yeah, then it's like pinata time, baby.
All right. All right, so that Lavaline, that gets to you. So you've got an aggressive action, a defensive action, and a strategic. But remember, you can only move forward, you can't move back.
Okay, so the guys are up in the... All right, I guess I could fly up there, but that sounds dangerous, and I don't want to be the only one.
Yeah, you're definitely putting yourself in whacking range.
Yeah, I don't want to be the only one up there. I'm a very delicate flower. Mm-hmm. So I guess I am just going to fall in line next to Mr. Martin Cirque and ready along with him.
Sounds good. So you go up shoulder to shoulder with Martin and ready an attack for the first person who comes within stabbing range.
How dare they?
Okay. Val, you are up. You have three targets suddenly appear.
Oh, and I got a bow and arrow. I got a bow.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. I'm using it. How close am I? How far away is the closest, like, adversary?
They're well within range of your bow. Yeah, and you can pick the one with the bow and arrow, or the mage, or their healer, he looks like a medic or something.
Mm-hmm.
To target, if you'd like.
So I'm going to use a loose arrow, which is a range 10.
All right, so she looses an arrow.
Yeah.
One of them loose arrows.
No. Slutty, it's the attack. So arrows. Each of the weapons.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna hit all of you guys.
So all weapons in this game have weapon actions that you can use, special like attacks. Like a mace has a bash, and the arrow has a loose arrow, and then it also has a long shot, which goes farther but costs more vim, like more stamina bar. So all the weapons have different attacks that they can make, and that's part of the fun of being a warrior in this game. Is you have all kinds of different actions you can take with different weapons, and you swap your weapons out and have all kinds of different stuff you can do. So it's not a loose, as in a promiscuous arrow, although that is an awesome thing that now exists in Firetail.
It is now.
Like a slutty arrow. Yeah.
I love
so,
her. Yeah.
She is best. Everything to me. So she looses an arrow at... So do you want to shoot Thodwill with the bow and arrow, Morm with his mage's staff, or Clutup, the guy with the like surgeon's kit?
Get the ranged guy, because that one's gonna be.
I was thinking mage, but mage or range. What do you think, mage or range?
So she's scanning left and right. Guys, Who do I shoot? No.
Get the mage.
Yeah, I'm going for the mage. That's my instinct.
Bitch. So Morm hears that and he goes, "Traitor!"
Yeah, I'm gonna trust Zenitor over here.
All right, his guard is 3, so you're going to roll the accuracy of your bow, -3, roll a d20, and hit 10, and then you succeed. That sounds probably
right. I only have to roll 4.
What is the accuracy of your bow?
4 or higher.
9. Okay. Yeah. So
These guys are tied to a tree. They are not good combatants.
Come on, baby.
Also, in this game, I'm just going to be up
front. I rolled a 4 exactly.
Holy shit, that's all you needed, right?
Yeah. Yes, the bare minimum, okay.
I love the bare minimum.
So you have like an 80% chance to hit that guy. So most of the hit percentages are going to be pretty high, like higher than you maybe are expecting in other games.
Oh, I'll find a way to lose, though.
Because I hate missing! But that also means that the enemies don't miss as often either, and the way that health and stuff works out. Combat is pretty nasty and can be over very quickly if you guys don't kind of play right. But, okay. So the arrow hurtles out and hits him directly center mass in the middle of his chest. Nice. All right, what damage do I have here?
Damage is 11.
All right, that puts him to 26. Okay, so the arrow sinks in all the way to the fletching. Oh, you! He starts spitting up blood onto his midsection. He looks very low health at this point. All right, well, you have just sank an arrow just easily. Like, you've never, I don't know if you've ever even shot a bow.
Sure haven't.
The knowledge is just in your fingertips.
Feels good, though.
Accuracy is crackling on the edge of your eyes. Okay, so who is up? That would be Sarah. Okay, so I think Miss Applejack is just going to, like, run up so that she is underneath the... underneath the tree, and then she's gonna take her axe and hold it up over her head like she's gonna throw it, and she's just gonna wait for something to happen. Okay, and then sorry, where was I missed you.
That's okay. I think I had an 18.
Oh, so you would have gone before her. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I would have delayed anyway. I wanted to see how the round played out.
Okay.
So none of our melee combatants are in range of anybody.
But they are all standing underneath the tree with ready attacks.
Yeah.
To go off if they fall, if they do try and swoop down.
Yeah, Sarah and Cirque are closest.
All right, I am going to try out my arcane missiles spell.
Nice.
I would like to finish off that mage.
Whoa! All right.
So how aggressive. Many of the points of damage? So he sprays his hands out into the air, and this like swarm of small magical like purplish darts come off of his fingertips and swarm up into the sky.
So I get 9 missiles.
Yep, and you get to sort of pick who you want to hit, and nothing misses. So,
do I need to pick all at once, or can I go?
I think you do have to pick them all at once.
fucking love magic.
But you know what? That would be a sick, like, spell trait or, like, feat or something for later, where you're like, I can fire the magic missiles one at a time until I fell an enemy and then move to the next one. But I think you have to, like, throw them all at once. Like, so you have to commit how many missiles go to this guy who has 26 damage on him.
Do the rules allow for any rolls to gain information on how many
do
points
you have
left?
A strategic action? You can do analyze enemy to get, like, his, like, general health percentage.
All right, I want to analyze him then.
All right, so he's tier one, so you're going to make a cunning check, difficulty one.
I made it, 11.
Okay, so he has, you know what? He is at 26 of 35. Shit, I guess I'll just tell you that. I'm supposed to give you, like, a general percentage, but I just realized that that's harder to do than I thought, so...
Alright, so he needs 5 missiles. If I'm doing my math right.
You got it. That'll put him at 36.
So I will send 5 missiles his way. That leaves 4 additional missiles. They do 2 damage per missile that I'll send at the archer.
Alright, so that's 9 damage to Thodwul, who gets peppered along his midsection and the side of his face, and Morm, like, lifting up his staff, going, you know, like, this is his first battle as a brigand, and he's going to cast Fireburst, which he's been working on his whole career, and then 5 missiles go into his throat and his face, and he pitches off the end of the rope, off the tree, and on the rope he just swings, spraying blood comically as he does so, like swinging back and forth. He's like a few inches above the rope. They did their measuring really well, like, he just is a little bit too high up. And then the other guy who you peppered with magic missiles goes, "Killer Wither!" Okay, so, alright, so that's what Sarah was waiting for, and she throws her axe up at, the back of that guy's head, and there's, like, a comical, like, splitting Gallagher style of his skull.
Home Alone with Blood style.
And then he hurdles down, and now there are 2 men dangling on ropes. Down below the, you know, they're tied around their midsection, so they're just sort of ragdolling. You know, like when an NPC dies, how their physics get all ragdolly.
One is a pot belly, and it's just, like, real tight. That rope is, like, in the belly button.
He looks like an actual hourglass.
Well, that guy bursts out from behind the trees. His name is Baralath, and he's fat as hell, and he's got this rope tied around his midsection. And it's definitely muffin topping and muffin bottoming around the rope. And he comes out and he's got a bow and arrow, and he heard what Thodwill said before Sarah split his head open with her axe throw.
Uh-oh.
And he says, he goes, "I'm a down that wizard. It's wizard hunting season." And he shoots a serrated arrow at the wizard. Okay, so that is make a guard 5 check. So get ready to fail the defense rolls, too. I mean, maybe you guys will get lucky. But I don't think you have very good armor or defenses yet. I don't think most of you even have armor.
Nope. I don't have anything.
Nope. I rolled a 2.
All right. So the arrow hits you in the shoulder and sinks in, and you are shocked at how much it doesn't hurt. So pain doesn't really exist for you so much as it is just an alert that you've been damaged because you're dead. So... you take 1 spirit damage and 4 vim damage as blood, viscous starts to leak out of the wound. Okay, so another one of these man-bushers. Sorry,
man-bushers.
I got a little confused there. All right,
oh my god,
these...
I'm never going to say I'm being mansplained again. I'm going to say I'm being man-bushed.
This is a man-bushing. Oh, yeah.
Wow. When multiple mansplainers try to explain something to me, it's a man-bush.
When a bunch of men ambush you, you've been man-bushed, yeah.
I love it.
All right, so our second man-busher blurs out of his... I'm drunk. So a man who somehow you know his name is Ernest blurs out of a bunch of leaves that he had carefully hidden behind. He's clearly their leader, he has the best armor, and he has, like, several feathers in his
cap.
Wait,
is this boss?
What? No, he's not a boss.
They said boss said kill. They rejected our surrender and said boss said kill them.
You think that it might have been the guy Ernest who actually said that, because the sound came from the farthest to the right, and that's where he's standing.
Well, they referred to him as boss. so.
But a boss and the boss.
You're going down, wizard! And he shoots an arrow, another one of those serrated arrows, directly at you. All right, guard 5.
You can still surrender.
You can still surrender! Hell, you look half dead from one arrow shot!
She's mostly
he's
dead.
Got me pegged.
So another guard 5, please.
Don't like the sound of that. Oh, I did it. 16.
Holy shit! His, you know, are you in a staff or a stick or walking stick?
No, I got my cloak and my magical fists here.
Okay, well,
Abra and Kadabra.
That is
he
dope.
He kisses each one.
So as the man lines up his arrow, Xenophor kisses Abra and Kadabra, and then just like dodges like wildly out of the way as the arrow comes in and it just hits the ground where you were a moment ago. Yeah, guard isn't necessarily blocking arrows out of the sky. It's just your defense. All right, so the guy named Cluttup, the one with the little white cap, immediately starts stitching up his wounds, and you can see he has a little bit of puissance. I can't remember how to say that word, but I do love it when I see it in books. He has a little bit of power in his fingers, and so he starts to magically heal.
This
himself.
Is the archer guy?
This is the healer like, guy. They're like medic. So he stitches up his wounds. He actually heals himself back up to
Wait,
full.
Who hurt him?
You.
The horrid green,
the
puking.
Oh,
when I say
you?
Wounds, I mean he purges, he like does a little bloodletting and purges poison goo out of his arm because he was damaged by the grenade. Okay, so Marken, the last of the ambushers, he's the boldest one. He takes a spear and he pitches himself backwards off of the tree, swings down on a pendulum, and tries to skewer, let's see. You know what? They're doing what the boss says. They're going for the wizard.
No!
But as they swing in towards him, they trigger triggers the readied attacks of Martin Sirk and Lavaline.
Yeah. Haha, you fools!
Kicky pants. And so the thing you see that Lavaline does is pretty nuts, is her arms flap, she leaps up in the air, and she kicks at him with just these like gracefully pointed toes that glint silver on the end ever so slightly.
Truth.
All right, so his guard is 4. So roll with your accuracy of your weapon, minus 4, hit 10.
He's got like deadly ballerina feet.
I do have deadly.
She has like steel toe point silver toe. Top ballerina shoes.
So she leaps up and kicks him just square in the side of the head.
12.
Okay. So it rips a chunk off of the side of his armor as she kicks. She leaps up in the air gracefully and kicks him. All right. I've been keeping you waiting long enough, Sirk.
All right. Ooh, hell yeah. That's a hit there.
All right. And 20s are crits in this game, just to be
yeah,
clear.
Yeah, I got 19, so.
That'll crit a lot of the time, actually, if you have extended crit range on weapons or items.
I unfortunately do not on my
club hand.
My clubbed arm. But,
Is
that...
hamburger phone.
I know! Is hamburger yeah, phone.
Next time we have to try hamburger phone.
So, damage wise, that is going to be 12 crush.
He now has been kicked on one side and then battered on the other, so he's now spinning in the. You know, he's on the end of that rope and he's now spinning. And mid spin, he lances out with his. With his spear for the wizard, just viciously focus firing their spellcaster.
You killed my brother! You killed my brother! He ambushed us! God damn it! Grax, damn it!
You're supposed to just die!
We're heroes!
Well, we're... What? Wait, what did you say? Alright, but he already stabbed me. I already committed to the stabbing.
His dying breath is... What? What did you say?
Say who? Alright, so...
Your hero!
Alright. All right, so please make a guard spear thrust, guard 6 check.
Yeah. You made yourself a target. I don't even want to hear your sighing.
Well, you guys all came into range, lined up, and blasted the shit out of them. They were going to respond, of course.
Mm-hmm. I rolled a 20.
Un-frickin' believable.
You can't touch me.
You can't
touch this wizard.
So he thrusts forward at you. And you stumble backwards and kick and his spear goes up over his head and clips the rope that he's dangling from, and he falls belly first onto the one-way road, and they go, Markin's gone! You know what? This isn't going super well.
I said heroes.
Holy fucking shit. So, that's a critical defense roll. So, you can critical fail on defense rolls, which sucks, but you can also critical succeed. So, I used what's called a whim point to make something just awesome happen for you. So now you have this guy, and he's stuck on a one-way road with you unless you butcher him in the next few minutes, but yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, shit! They got
me! We have an opportunity to, like, take a hostage or slit his throat, basically.
They got Markin! Get out of here! This is too much! One of them said heroes! They didn't say nothing about no heroes! Alright, so it looks like they are turning to flee. They are starting to run down the tree on either side, off the road, and it looks like they're drawing knives to like cut the ropes when they get to the length. But they aren't cutting the ropes until they're off the tree. They're like their safety harnesses. Alright, so do you guys want to let them run off into the forest or take another round of shots at them or? Look at the bloodlust in Josh's eyes.
We should let them go.
We taught them a lesson.
We taught them a lesson, and we have a valuable, resource in this
quite a lesson.
Hostage.
Slash caddy.
Some lessons are harder than others.
All right.
You're a monster.
No, we're going to let them go. Of course we're going to let them go.
We're going to let them, well, I've played with you before. Don't say, of course we're going to let them go.
Kind eyes, remember?
That's true.
All right, so they cut themselves off of their tethers right as they leap off of the ambush tree into the tree line along the sides of the one-way road and disappear, never to be seen again.
I don't know. Those NPCs have names.
Holy crap! What happened?
Well,
I believe you were trying to ambush us.
We responded to a clue.
No, I touched the road! Oh, crap!
You're on this journey now.
So he bursts into full tears at this point.
I just needed gold to buy drugs! Are you okay? There's a lot to unpack here.
I just wanted drugs because they feel good.
What kind of drugs? I could cast alchemical concoction and mix up the...
She's gonna torture me with witch magic.
I could conjure up some meth for you, little buddy.
I love meth.
I could tell.
I think this guy needs some compassionate care. Maybe some... we could wean him off of it.
He's gonna wean me off.
Yeah, I mean, your choice. You want to go with Wiener over here or your meth dealer over here?
As my flesh-covered club hand,
literally
shrivels.
Listen, now that I've lost this battle, I apologize. I was wrong. I was wrong.
What exactly were you wrong about?
To attack a group that was stronger than us.
Well, then, that's not much of an apology.
I'm really not apologizing.
No. What are you doing?
Then I revoke
my
offer
for
of my
life.
You
oh.
Have.
Will you save me?
I don't think any of us are planning to kill you.
No.
Oh,
no.
Great.
See, no more.
But I'm stuck on the one-way road. That could take me years, weeks, months to get off.
Or like a day.
Or like a day to get off of.
Well, then you'll have time to think about your actions.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't have attacked a group of weirdos.
Technically, you didn't.
Well, we did.
Your ambush was pretty obvious. We attacked you.
Oh, it was a good ambush. We killed the group before you.
What group?
Okay.
Before us.
Now he's confessing to murder. I think we should. I think we probably need to take him with us to the Heroes Guild.
No.
Where
no,
justice. No. Maybe there'll be a trial on it. What happens?
Attempted robbery is one thing, but.
Straight up murder is another situation.
I just was saying our.
Is it accessory to multiple
You just
murders?
Said we killed the group before you.
Yeah. Not just like the single guy before, but
the group. How many people did you kill?
Four.
Oh. Four?
Yeah, they were
Honey,
traveler types. They didn't have any tanky type, so we just shot them full of arrows while they were like, but wait, we're
they didn't have any adults. That was
we're heroes, they said, and we shot them.
Wait, they said there were heroes?
Somewhere in there.
And when was this?
That's, never mind, they didn't say anything about being heroes. That's definitely not who we were hired to try to murder, is...
Can I give him a little nudge with my foot that has certain implications?
Why are your toes so sharp? Okay, fine, listen, we were hired to murder any heroic adventurer types that come along the road. No big deal, it happens all the time.
Who are you working for?
Ernest. He's the guy with the three plumes in his cap that ran off that way.
Yeah, but who hired Ernest?
I'm not 100% sure. A shadowy figure by the name of Big Rat.
His name was Big Rat?
Well, his name can't be Big Rat. Whose mom hates them that much?
Is he an actual rat? Because I have pull there.
you got a lot of pull with rats?
Sure do.
You know what? Honestly, I never met him personally, but... Now that you mention it, Ernest did make some cheese jokes last time you brought him up. All right, one of those golden quests pops up and, like, spins into view. I think it's, like, startling every time that it happens. Like, you're playing a VR game and, like, something
pops up. It's a weird shadow.
Does the NPC notice it?
Oh, that's good. I wish he did.
It's like, oh, you're fucked now. You triggered a quest. We get experience points for murdering you now.
Oh, no! No, I don't think they can. I think it's just for you guys, I think. But that would be funny if they did. Like, oh, shit, a quest just popped up. Get a duck. They can actually hit people if you aren't careful. Yeah, that's good shit. No, Big Rat is a pretty well-known guy in the underworld areas around Vast City. Oh, you guys taking notes. You guys are really serious about this kind of adventuring stuff,
added it
huh?
to my quest, Big Rat, Hero Hunters from the One Way Road.
Ooh. Well, so, all's well that ends well.
You really think we should just let him go now?
No, I think we should bring him with us to the Heroes Guild.
I agree, we gotta turn you in.
Yeah,
dude.
Let's tie
There's
his ass
no
up.
Way.
Well, I mean, he's pretty. He's a hostile murderer.
Here, we're gonna have to restrain him. I'm happy if someone here has, like, some knowledge of knots and wants to restrain him. I'm happy to load him up on my back.
Yeah,
because
I'm definitely gonna try to solo six adventurers.
Well, you've already proven to be pretty foolish.
Yeah, we don't trust
Fair
you.
Fair enough.
And
here's my knife. He hands you his like knife, and here's my other knife, and here's my backup knife.
I just want to put him on my back where Todd can, like, keep an eye on / belittle him the entire way.
I got my eyes on you, buddy. Like, yeah, it's
not you, buddy.
Okay, guy. So you take his spear, which is broken from Abracadabra, and tie him up, put him on Clute's back like a sack
Should
of potatoes.
Should we divvy up his weapons to add to our own inventory?
Well, I also, if I'm not mistaken, there is a wizard to loot and a archer to loot.
Yeah, they're dangling down just in reach.
I don't necessarily actually want any kind of weaponry at this juncture, but the rest of you, very able body.
I want that wizard shit.
Clutching in the dead wizard, or the dead mage. He's not a wizard. Wizard is like... A bigger deal. It's like
gotcha.
Part of the ancient mystery of wizards. It's harder to get into wizard school. Mage is like, I cast magic and throw fire around and stuff. So that's just someone who can do magic. All right. So Morum,
he doesn't
dead,
know the pig's wall, I bet.
he definitely doesn't. His spells include fire burst and nothing else. Because when I was writing this enemy, I was like, there is no way he's going to live longer than... Than to
spell.
Just cast one spell, maybe that spell twice, but he's just trying to burn you alive. So that's all his whole thing
was. And Fire Burst isn't even a spell that's in the rule book, I don't think.
No, it's not. It's not. It's an enemy, like,
yeah,
magic.
Attack. Yeah.
Like a knack or magic power attack.
Did the archer leave?
Yeah, like he's got, yeah.
Does
okay,
he
so
have
yeah.
slutty arrows?
Yeah, how many loose arrows. Okay.
Can
loose
I have my
arrows.
Loose arrow back? That's really...
No, the slutty arrow is a legendary. These are just regular, like, white type enemies. Okay, like greens. Hold on, Amanda's trying to get some bugles out of a bag, and we're all on pins trying to see
it's
if
like
we can hear
it. Operation.
I've been successfully doing it for the last hour, and then everyone looks at me and I
know, are you gumming bugles?
I'm sucking on them into their soft to not make a sound when I chew them.
Oh, this has been really fun, guys.
I'm elbow deep in this bugle's beehole right now.
Can anybody hear it? Can anybody hear it? ASMR, ASMR. Okay, so, yes, we will...
Bugle hole.
So Thodwill has a pouch of this, like, foul-smelling poisonous powder that, you know, Val, you would probably recognize this with your skullduggery. It's a burst pouch. You throw
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like clearly. A pepper pouch, called a pepper pouch. You throw it into somebody's face and just basically pepper sprays them. Causes them vim damage and sickened. So it's like a, you kind of make somebody feel gross and get bonuses on attacking them, and they get penalties on their attacks. He has a curved sword and a brace of serrated arrows, which are just like regular arrows, except that they apply a 3 bleed on
ooh,
a hit.
I need those arrows.
You take those. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in that pouch if nobody else wants it.
Pepper powder pouch. Fun to say. All right, Morm has...
Can you wait at home because I don't want that sword?
No one's claimed it.
No,
Yeah, that Martin and Lavaline just look at it like, meh.
I don't know if I'm, like, into the whole idea of, like...
Looting the dead?
Weapons.
Weapons.
Like, non...
If you're uncomfortable looting the dead, this is going to be the
really rough
game
time
for you.
I mean, I'll get there. It's just, this is all just very overwhelming.
He's
at
not
the
ready
moment.
For a weapon yet.
I already did, like,
just,
more violence than I...
Why don't you just carry the sword and, at the very least, you can sell it?
Why don't we give the sword to the graceful and deadly Lavaline? That was one of the best kicks I have seen in a while. Are your feet sharp? That's a neat trick. I like that.
I just want someone to take this.
They are.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take the sword.
Somebody write it in their inventory.
I'll write it in my inventory.
All right, so she pulls takes the sheath and the sword off of the dead guy, and you also find 3 gold crowns in Thodwill's stuff. And 5 gold crowns in Morm stuff. Also, you find a thin brass staff in his hand with a small red gem on the end of it, which allows you to use the Fireburst ability for
Wizard
7.
Wizard Daddy, yeah. Get your staff.
I'll give you the stats on that, but it's a staff. What staves do is they let you spend your wits action pool to like fire off, basically, wizard, you know, like when Gandalf and Saruman are like, throwing each other across the room with those like spectral ram spells or whatever, like that kind of stuff.
And how
like,
many gold crowns and who's he? What's it? Do we have?
You
is
get
this currency?
8 gold crowns, gold swans. Sorry, they're actually called gold swans. It's gold swans, silver herons, and brass larks for the currency.
Got it.
In the lands of Un.
Can we establish a system of even divvying of currency as we move forward? Does that feel fair?
She says, like, holding out a small handful of gold.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody should be the only one who's holding gold, you know? And in the event that we got separated, if we needed finances, it just makes sense for us to split all the money, you know?
Yeah, one
person
with a huge sack.
Everyone needs a little walking around money.
And then, yeah, it makes you a target if one person's carrying all the money, so...
Yeah, and a gold swan goes a long ways. You can buy, like a goat for a gold swan.
So we have 8 gold swans currently, and there are... 6
Sarah holds her hand up and she's like, I'm good on spending money.
And there are 5 of us.
I'm an NPC. I'm an important and mouthy NPC. I'm still an NPC.
I vote that in this round of divvying, we give the extra gold swan to the wizard who took a serious ass-kicking during that
yeah,
last
encounter. You're not bleeding, but you're sort of leaking, I think.
That seems fair.
That seems fair.
All right. So what else is in there? It was just the 8 gold swans. Are there
8
herons
gold swans
as well?
And 30 silver herons.
Well, at least that
between the two of them.
Easier to, right or no? 6. Yeah, 5 goes into 30 even. Like,
listen, we've been here a while,
oh
and it is
and math is hard.
Math is.
I mean, I don't even remember what my interests are, so I don't know what I'm going to spend this on.
So we each get 6 no. silver herons.
I know I'm trusting and bendy.
Yeah.
So.
Any brass larks in that pile? 5 brass larks. We each
wait,
get
5 into no. right.
Yeah. We always spend six, it on loose we each arrows. Get six silver herons. How many brass larks? None?
And like, no, they weren't carrying
great.
Like
braces.
Braces. We have stuff!
You know what? That is like a really important moment for a group. The first time
it's so exciting.
Beaten enemies and looted the dead. I mean, what more could we want than that?
I'm actually feeling pretty accomplished today. I've had a good day.
I think you guys have had a pretty good day.
It went as far as well overall.
Brand new adventurers who just woke up to a new life of being nearly heroes. I mean,
not too shabby.
Hey, Gwen.
Yeah.
Can you take this arrow out of me?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, can we reuse that? Can I have that, actually?
Ish, but yes.
50% chance for it to be... Because you have a brace of 30 serrated arrows, or 29, because he shot one at Xenothor. So roll a 50% chance and see if that arrow breaks as Gwendolyn is taking it out.
How do I do that?
Odds are even.
Yeah, roll on that
double...
That D100.
Just
pretend ones?
Yep.
And so I'm just trying to get above 50?
Trying to... Whichever you like.
Okay. I'm going to try to get below.
That tracks.
30.
Nice.
So the arrow doesn't break as Gwendolyn takes it out. It's a little ripe smelling. It smells a little bit Xenothor-y.
It smells like home.
Yeah, it smells like home. All right. So you put a full brace of 30 serrated arrows onto your back.
Hell yeah.
Stack some bleeds on some baddies in the future.
Do you put like a quick few stitches on my decaying body?
Yeah, stitches probably aren't her strong suit with them big, meaty fingers, but she does her best, and it doesn't hurt, so...
My fingers, in my description, are proportionate, but can perform delicate tasks.
Okay.
I'll have you know that I do often ruin stitches, but not because of my big, meaty hands. Thank you
I
very
am
much.
So sorry to have...
If you need, I can break off, I can make a cloak bandage for you.
Oh, really?
Real quick.
This seems just like a much better
little rip. No problem.
Well, well, well.
That sounds like it has like mechanical benefits, where this is just kind of a little bit of flavor banter, I think. I don't really
she
need
can
to
heal. She can heal some of your essence if you took some essence damage there.
I need to take one spirit, but let's...
You just want some shitty stitches. I'm here for you.
I think I'm okay.
All right, she gives him some nice shitty stitches. She's surprisingly graceful for how for her size and proportions. All right, guys, so should we do the roll for the next random encounter? And Calamity Katie over
there.
Calamity Katie is going to give us her...
Gonna roll a one, yeah.
Her D8 roll. Okay. And if you roll the same one, we're going down to the...
Big money, big money, big money.
No whammy, no whammy, no whammy, no whammy.
It's a 4.
Oh! Maybe. I don't know. 4 could be fine.
Well, my hands are sweaty.
The worst we could have gotten was a 3, right?
Yeah.
True. Because we've already blasted through 1 and 2.
Okay. The party observes a group of unnerving riders clad in blood-red plate, flying crimson banners with no sigil in the distance. They appear so quickly and with such like a burst of presence. They seem huge, like 8 feet tall at least each, with solid, heavy red plate that even at this long distance of maybe a half a mile from where they suddenly appear, you hear like it clattering and clanking on their shoulders. For just a second, you think maybe those friendly knights errant have returned, but upon further inspection, these men are clearly trying to strike fear into the hearts of people who look at them. Their banners have, like as I said, no marking, no sigil, it's just red. And as it flutters through the air, you can see little flecks of liquid like spraying behind the banner as if it has just been soaked in blood. They cut an imposing and a terrifying sight. Okay, does anyone have the Green Sea Wayfarer facet?
I do.
Okay, so... Xenothor, you recognize these as the dreaded Red Riders. The banners and armor and everything will be soaked in blood. They are marauders. They are the fear of this agrarian culture of the Rolling Hills and the Green Sea. No one has ever successfully interrogated one. Nobody knows where they are, or where they come from, where they headquarters, or why they massacre whole villages in just these stampedes of carnage, and then where they go, they just disappear again. Most of them have their mouths sealed shut by burning. So they have, so interrogating them is both hard, but even after surgery was performed once, to open their mouths back up to try and force them to speak, like, no force could compel them. And all, like, enchantment also was defeated in attempts to try to, like, force a, you know, description out of them. Anyway, the fact that they are just storming down the side of the road gives you, like, your stomach drops, because, you know, you were a child in lands that they terrorized. So... and we have a red hood, so, as you observe them, Miss Valeriana, you can't help but feel a strange pull towards them, especially
the bloody flag,
mm-hmm. And you notice that you are worrying the edge of your cloak with your thumb, like, kind of nervously. Alright, please make a focus 3 endeavor.
So for these, my focus is 5. I can just subtract 3 from that.
So roll a 2, so roll 8 or higher.
Oh, fucking 4.
Lucky number 4.
I wanted to just...
All right, just you have, like, a strange, like, familiarity. Like, something, like, pulls you to the cloak, but you can't... Or to their cloth. You feel some sort of kinship, but then whatever connection it was being made sort of, like, slips out of your mind. You suddenly feel sick. A hot metal tang fills your mouth and your tongue starts to bleed for a moment, just spontaneously, like blood kind of coming out of the pores. Then the illness and the feeling and the taste passes. Then the riders pass in the distance with no interest in the party. Okay, so this particular session has ended, and so we now dole out heroism. Everybody has a point of heroism. You give it to another player for some great moment or being a particularly in character. I thought you all did fantastic, and this is our first session, so I'm gonna just, because I can, just give everybody one, so everybody goes to 2.
Participation
trophy, but now you guys hand them out to each other, for something, whatever you like. So who wants to go first?
I will. I'm gonna give it to Josh for his, creative use of a wall.
Creative use of a brick wall. Good job, Josh. Alright, so Josh will have 3 heroism. Anybody else got one to toss out? Now, if you do not have something that comes to mind that you don't want to call one out particularly, you give it to me, and then I dole it out next session at the end. So we always have this kind of like churning like heroism points coming in, if nothing like really sticks out at you. But if you do have a cool moment, or even just like, I just thought you like really nailed your characterization today, that kind of thing, or I know your character is supposed to start off kind of cowardly or super brave, and you think they really embodied that, or they took some sacrifice. The only thing you're not allowed to give it for is, you brought good snacks, or I like your hair, or, you know, it has to be something in the game, but other than that, it's totally up to your discretion, and I talked enough to stall, and go for it. Anybody want to hand out more?
I want to give one to Josh for surviving a majorly pummeling, like, from the what were they? The man bushes?
The man bushes. Oh no, that's a group now.
The man bushes.
We're the man bushes.
So one to Josh, and then my other one I want to give to Andy, because his failed attempt at turning into an umbrella was like such an incredible image for me.
Okay, you
today.
Have to pick one of the two of them, because you only have one
one. I thought you said you gave us an extra one.
I gave you one, but it's for you to keep.
Oh, then never mind. You're on your own this way. Sticking with just giving one to Josh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
shit.
Know.
Josh is running
Josh
away
is gonna
with
pile
it.
I know, it's, I don't
want
to pile on, but that was fucking badass.
It was so good.
Well, listen, we have a rule. It's called the pulling ahead rule, or pulling out rule. I know, that's
something. Oh, wow. Yes, that's
no,
it.
Not the pulling out. No, sorry.
Loose arrows.
Pulling ahead or something, or like... So I can't remember it. It's somewhere in my notes here, but you're only at the end of a session if you have more than twice as many points as the person with the lowest, you can't get any. So...
Well, I'm going to mix it up then. I'm going to give my point of heroism to Katie, because I thought she did stellar the whole time. I know
you're
being new and whatnot, but from role-playing to
really
combat, like, it was
right?
really
Yeah,
bad.
It was
so,
fun to see her come on out.
Yeah, finally feel good about it.
Yeah,
I love
she was
it.
Fun,
yeah.
And it seemed like you really enjoyed yourself today, and that warms my heart just so much, so... okay, anybody else got one, or is that everybody handed out?
I'll give mine to... Andy for just generally hitting the character.
Yeah, I thought it was right on point.
And then you have to give one too, don't you?
Or yeah. Already? Well, so you're maxed out.
We both gave.
Yeah,
we
each gave one to Josh,
so he can't get anymore.
Man, I gotta. Just give it to Silver Toes, man.
Silver Toes. All right.
Those were sick.
Hell yeah.
And I love.
Because I just picture this bird being like.
Yeah.
That was great.
Good stuff.
I thought it was going to be like a talons thing, but it's really seeming more delicate than that, and I'm excited to see like what the backstory is on those feet.
Your like whole ballerina vibe.
It's the ballerina vibe.
It is selling for me really well.
I mean, and you don't need that much force when you're sharp.
All right, that's enough patting each other on the back. That was great job. I
can handle some more of that. I like that part.
I love that. It's just a little like, here's some kudos and some points that you get to use on cool heroic abilities later on. All right, guys, I hope you had a good time. I sure did. Love ya. Peace out.
Woo!
Bye.
A short story in four parts. Part two. The first of his kind. After his family home had burned down, the boy born from a star crawled out of the stone cellar. Onlookers would have been shocked to see how easily he tossed aside the heavy burned timbers, and perhaps more so to see how their smoldering, ember-caked skin did not burn him. The family's farm, where they grew rooting vegetables, turnips specifically, was in disarray. All the buildings had been razed, all his family killed, and all the animals slaughtered to a one. The red clad had even stomped all the eggs in the hen house. The boy sighed and set to rebuilding, which, being that their farm was quite remote, meant he had to do all of it himself. He felled the timbers and joisted the wood, as he had no way to make or purchase nails. The animals were dead, so he had to put all his back into pulling the plow himself. Within a season, the farm was back together, and the turnips were happy in the ground. On the boy's birthday that year, he sat alone, drinking turnip soup, when out his window, he saw a flaring light in the sky. The elder sister of the star that had fallen upon his mother's request all those years ago had learned of what befell the family at the hands of the red-clad men, and was incensed. And so, she plummeted from the sky, burning and smoldering until she had taken the shape of a sword, and plunged into the field, sending dirt and rock and turnip flying. The boy gaped in shock out his window at the gleaming weapon that sizzled in his field, and hurried to see it. When he grew close, he heard the sword that was a star whisper to him, "Take me up. Let us avenge. Let us rebalance. Take me up. We are family," it whispered. The boy reached out, took the sword by its smoldering handle, and lifted it aloft, where it gleamed like a lighthouse in the twilight, promising to follow his hand to hell and back if needed. Then the boy gave it a good toss where it clattered to a stop in a ditch. "Well, hell's good thing I saw that. Could have dinged up the plow," he grumbled. "Ah, it burned a whole bushel of turnips. Bloody stars falling, as if I don't have enough to worry about." The sword was pretty flabbergasted and didn't know what else to say. This is the earliest account we have on file of a nearly coming to be. Thanks for listening to Could Have Been Heroes, production and editing by Aaron Schoenrock, theme song by Bo Hoover, and cover art by me, Robert Knutson.
Could Have Been Heroes is an entirely independent podcast, so if you like the show, please subscribe and review. For exclusive content and hands-on Farital access, head to patreon.com/CBHpod.
Tune in next week for more adventures, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CBHpod, and check out our website, couldhavebeenheroes.squarespace.com.